Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be unto each of you this hour of grace and forevermore. Amen. For this morning's sermon text, we'll be turning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 through 49. Luke 24, beginning at verse 36, reading in the name of our Lord Jesus as follows. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And when he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye any meat? And he gave to them, and they gave to him a piece of boiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat therefore before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Amen. Let us join together in a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word open before us again this day. We ask that by your Spirit each of us would be prepared, that it would be declared in truth, that our hearts would be prepared to receive it, and that we would leave here rejoicing in the truth and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, here we are, right after Resurrection Sunday, what we celebrated. We're moving quickly. And this portion of Scripture is what happens on that first resurrection day, later in the day. This portion that we read comes right following when Jesus was walking with those two on the road from Emmaus, when they were leaving Jerusalem after witnessing and being with the disciples that day. And they were heading home. And as we know, Jesus came to them and began to speak to them, and they didn't recognize him. And they traveled. And as it became late in the day, they invited Jesus, the resurrected Lord Jesus, to join them for supper, to stay with them. And when Jesus broke the bread, they recognized him. And it wasn't enough for these two to just get left there. You know, they had traveled this distance to their home, but they left. They returned that same night, and this is where today's portion of Scripture picks up, that they came back to tell those remaining disciples that were still gathered together that we have seen the risen Lord, that it is real. So that's where it begins. They had just walked in, and they began to tell this group that they had seen the Lord. And Jesus stood in the midst of them. And he said, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. Isn't that beautiful? You know, we think right back to the nativity and the angels coming to declare. What did they declare? Peace. You know, somehow in our humanness, sometimes it's like this Jesus that we know is this division. But yet he comes in peace. You know, what divides is because what Christ is and who he is. That propitiation for sin. But he comes to these people. Can you imagine? Think of the humanness of this day. I think often we forget that about Scripture. We think these people were so, dare I use the word special? You know, they're recorded in God's holy word, and we think of them as something being more than what you and I are. But they had feelings, emotions, just as you and I. That what had they been through? They watched their friend, their Lord, hang on Calvary. They watched him die. And he was buried. And then comes this news that the tomb is empty. He's not there. You know, some of them thought, you know, as we know in recording scripture, that, you know, where have you put our Lord? You know, where have you put him? And here they are. And the Lord appears to them and he says, peace be unto you. In verse 37, it tells us they were frightened and they supposed that they had seen a spirit. And Jesus asked them, why are you troubled? And why do these thoughts even arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet. You know, it is I. It is I, the risen Lord. I am here. Verse 41, I think, is beautiful, even how the King James words it. And they believed not for joy and wondered. And they believed not for joy. Have you ever heard such news that is so wonderful in your earthly walk that you have a hard time taking it in just to believe that it is true? I think we've all experienced those moments, haven't we? And this is what they were experiencing. That Jesus is alive. The Lord is risen. Their friend. And Jesus asked them, you know, do you have any meat? Do you have anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of fish and a honeycomb and he took it and he did eat before them. He was real. I don't understand it. I don't pretend to understand it. But our Lord was alive. He wasn't just a spirit and whatever. He was truly alive. But yet in the new sense, with his new resurrected body. And Jesus goes on to tell them that, you know, don't you, you know, these are the words that I spoke to you while I was with you. That all things must be fulfilled. Have you ever noticed coming up to the crucifixion of Christ how many times he point blank told them he must die and rise again the third day? And people didn't hear him? They heard the words, but somehow they couldn't grasp that. They couldn't understand that this is what was going to happen to their friend. Because many of them at this point honestly were kind of confused in some ways, thinking who this Messiah was. That he was going to give some sort of political realm of leadership, bring Jerusalem and the whole Israel nation back to where it was with King David. But Christ was so much more. He came to be the Savior of the world. And Jesus tells them that, you know, all things must be fulfilled, where were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. The promise that God would provide a way. The Messiah. In verse 45 it says, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. That they might understand. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I think verse 47 is what we need to remember. Right there. There it is. That repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. He was speaking it to these individuals, telling them that they needed to wait. And as it goes on to say, to wait, waiting for that day of Pentecost when God would provide the Holy Spirit to indwell in them. But this is what Jesus Christ came for. Jesus didn't come, I mean, dare I use the word social gospel? I mean, yes, we reach out in love, but that is not what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ came to take away our sin debt. That's it. As believers, should we live in love? Absolutely. Should our lives show forth love? Absolutely. But Christ came for one reason. He didn't come to make this world a better place, per se. He came to redeem you and I and offer to the entire world, all who will come to him through faith, not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, not because we've done anything, but because he offers it. I don't know. I'm going to step out on a limb here, especially because it's small in number. And if you never invite me back, that's okay, because I love you all. And some of you I know better. But how blessed you are as a congregation to have brothers stand up and to be able to pray like that. Do you know what that does for a morning worship service when one will stand up and just bring their heart before the Lord? Thank you. Praise God for such gifts. Because, you know, somehow it brings us. We gather. Now, today, it's a special day. It took a little effort, and we all were looking at the weather. Are we going to go to church? But here we are. We're gathered around God's Word, trusting that He'll provide something. And just even as a congregation, how blessed you are to have Brother Mark and others that do so much within this community, your church community. But I think especially at a worship service, that we come to the understanding that where we are, because we rush in here, don't we? We're in a hurry, oftentimes. And I don't know, there's something about prayer. There really is. I had an interesting encounter with prayer. A few of you know we were down in the Gulf Shores. We've just returned. And God just teaches me more and more about the importance of prayer and being bold in prayer. I had a security guard pray with me in a parking lot. Praise God. It was just a unique experience. And granted, his perhaps background, should I say, he prayed in a different way. But a heartfelt prayer. And what that can mean. And you know, and that's really what Christ has come for. Is that through simple faith in Jesus Christ, in Him alone, for our sin debt, we are united as a body, as believers. We may have different traditions, different flavors, whatever. But we are still united in the body. We can quickly move away from the Easter season, it seems now, don't we? We put it behind and we're anxious to move on with our summer and everything. We kind of move on. But we really need to remember and ponder the great gift and what that victory was on that resurrection morning for each of us. We need to wake up each and every morning and understand that. Who we are in Christ. Through faith in Him. Not because we work hard. Not because we do this, do that, or have this checklist. But simple faith in Jesus Christ to take away our personal sin debt. And may God motivate each of us to share that. To be those that would be encouragers to others. However He sees fit. These people were amazed to see their risen Lord. What an experience, wasn't it? They thought their Jesus was gone. And here He was. And just as He told these people, you know, to go and tell others. You know, these were the beginning people that started the church. Sometimes we forget that. These were the ones that were eyewitnesses. You know, they could go to somebody and say, you know what? This Jesus, yes, I saw Him. I saw Him when He was risen. What He was declaring is truth. Much in the same way as you and I as believers, we need to declare that to the world around. In a personal sense. That yes, God through His mercy has opened my eyes and my heart. I have seen the risen Lord. And that is where my hope is. And dear friend, it is offered for you. It is offered for you. We have much to praise Him for. Life will be difficult. There are many struggles I know right within this room as I look around people I know. But God is still in control. He is working. He is calling and drawing people onto Himself to see the risen Lord and to believe it for themselves. May each of you be empowered by the Spirit to live lives in joy. Don't be afraid to smile, because we are blessed. Life might be difficult, but our joy is not here, brothers and sisters. Our joy is in heaven, and it is because of Jesus Christ. His willingness to go to Calvary and His glorious resurrection. May His name be praised. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time around Your Word. We ask, Father, that You would watch over all of us, even as we travel home from here today. But, Father, most of all, we thank You that You have allowed us to gather, that You have allowed Your Word to be open, and we trust by Your Spirit that each of us have been strengthened in our walk. Empower us, Father, by Your Spirit, that we would be people that would truly declare the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would do it boldly, and that our lives would truly demonstrate the transforming power of the blood of Christ sprinkled upon our own hearts, that others may see it and even ask, why are you different? Allow us, Father, to share. Allow us only and always to point to Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.